Bruce, what have you seen from the Eagles the last couple weeks that's different from what we saw previously during the year?
I just seeing Sam getting more comfortable, you know, the big plays. Darren Sproles looks healthy and making splash plays every week, whether it's kicking game, offense. And their defense just looks like they're more in tune, tackling better. And, you know, Cox is still a hell of a player. And their young secondary guys are really improving.
Bruce, when you look at Sam, obviously getting more comfortable with his knee as the season goes along, what parallels do you see between this year for him versus the first year that you had Carson?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just getting healthy. It's finding your rhythm in that offense. And with same thing with Carson here. As you're learning, you're playing slower. As you get a feel for it, the game slows down and your athletic ability can take over. And Sam is blessed with a ton of athletic ability. I had him rated as one of the best ever to come out. And, you know, he just got unlucky with the injuries. And he looks like he's starting to flourish in that offense.
Bruce, Bill Davis, Eagles defensive coordinator here yesterday, obviously went up against you before. But he talked about how your offense is really kind of, I mean, you've been doing this a long time. You've had very different offenses at very different places. Is your scheme now more catered to the skill set of your quarterback and your players, or do you still kind of have a base philosophy?
Everything that we do is predicated on who we have. What do they do best? Our running game is starting to change a little bit just because Andre and Chris are gone. So we have to tailor it to what does David do best, what does Kerwin do best, what Stephon do best. But it still always goes around the quarterback and what's his comfort level and where can we put him in the most comfortable position. I always like to say if our offense can scratch whatever it is.
In Carson's case, what made you confident that after that second ACL injury he'd be back where he is now?
The look in his eye, look in his eye every day in rehab, watching him progress so quickly, it was amazing. The grit and determination that he attacked that with, but while he was working on his arm and his knee, he was studying film constantly and went back and watched every throw he made in the year and a half, criticized himself, wanted to know more about where the ball should have gone. And you could just see him with a determination that was not going to be stopped.
And in that case, did you study players who had two torn ACLs at all, or was it just specific to Carson?
I mean, it was just him. Once he was cleared, he actually threw 7-on-7 the entire spring. Then he was hell-bent on going through minicamp, which I didn't want him to. But he was going to get in that huddle with his teammates. And basically, I threatened anybody that got near him that they would get cut on the spot. And no rookies were allowed to be in there when he was in there.
And no restrictions during training camp or the preseason or anything?
No, none whatsoever. And he got his normal reps during training camp and preseason.
Bruce, you've talked before about how the up-tempo offense takes away a little bit of what a quarterback can do at the line in terms of making checks and audibling out of plays. You said that there was no leadership in that. Do you still feel that way when you look at the up-tempo? And why do you think it's most important for the quarterback to have the playbook at the line of scrimmage?
It's just my philosophy. We want to put a lot of pressure on playing quarterback for our offense and take us out of a bad play, put us in a better play, give you three plays at the line of scrimmage and be able to put your offensive line in position to hopefully be successful. And I never thought that the up-tempo was bad. I think it's great. We did it with Peyton Manning for a number of years early in his career, and he played better on that speed. But it was all at the line of scrimmage check with me stuff.
What about the part of the up-tempo package plays where you do have options post-snap, one or two, three plays based upon how the defense looks? Is that something that you've employed, and do you think that is kind of you know, become more rampant around the NFL?
Yeah, after the snap of the ball, I mean, you're talking about the option, and I was a wishbone quarterback, which I think wishbone's still the greatest offense ever invented because it was a series of audibles after the ball was snapped. You know, you could read the dive, you could keep it, you could pitch it, and it opened up the passing game. So, yeah, I'm a big believer in the option, which is audibles after the snap. Not all guys can do that. You know, you need a special quarterback to be able to do that. I'm more in tune to putting us in the best run or pass with what you see and knowing that they're going to hold their disguises until probably, you know, 7 seconds on a shot clock or something. So they're all things that go into the chess match.
As a quarterback guy, what made you want to trade for Matt Barkley?
I liked him coming out. I knew his shoulder wasn't completely healthy when we went and personally worked him out. But, he had really good numbers in a pro-style offense. Looked like his shoulder was getting healthy when he studied the throws he was making, and felt like he had a good future.
How's he been since you've had him there?
He's growing. He's growing every day, and I like what I see in him.
Bruce, after you got Carson, you said it probably was going to be about half a season before the light really went on and he played up to the level you expected him to. Is that a pretty common timeline for quarterbacks in a new system?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I think you just look at Eli, and it took him a while to get into the West Coast system. Now he's playing pretty good, and he obviously feels very comfortable in that offense. And I think it just takes time for guys. You know, some it takes a little longer, but others, you know, at the second part of the season, they should be flourishing.
Bruce, when you look at, like, the class of coaches that took over in 2013 with, you know, you and Chip being among them, what do you think has been, like, the big key for your success to kind of, like, help you through, like, some tough times that you might go through during the course of the season? How have you been able to weather all that?
For us, I mean, you're tied to the hip of your quarterback, where, no matter where you're a head coach. And that relationship and how well that guy plays, it pretty much depends on your job. You can have the greatest defense and you can run the football, but if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to go anywhere. So that, and I think your coaching staff, we have a very eclectic coaching staff in that we go from, I think, 28 to 81 on our coaching staff. And we have three guys that are in their 70s and one is 80. So,
when you mention the fact that you're kind of tied to the hip of your quarterback, I mean, obviously in Chip's case, you know, he's had like three different starting quarterbacks in his three seasons and stuff. So, I mean, how do you kind of like explain that?
Well, I think it's probably what caused a slower start. Now they're starting to play real good because Sam had to learn it. You know, Mark was in it. And they probably looked very comfortable with Mark. But that was a major decision, I think, to go away from Nick and go to Sam. Nick obviously played extremely well against us, so those are the decisions that you make as a head coach.
Bruce, you had been on the Eagles' list of potential coaching candidates in 2013. I think they actually had announced that you were going to interview with them. What happened to keep you from interviewing with them you know, what kind of conversations did you have with them prior to you landing in Arizona?
Yeah, I had an interview set up with Chicago because they turned the paperwork in first. And while I was in Chicago, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and San Diego canceled the interviews that we had set up.
First, Larry Fitzgerald's kind of getting up in his years here, yet he's still very productive. Just talk about, you know, his production and how he stays as productive.
Yeah, I mean, he's in great shape. In great shape, and my job is when he's in December is to keep him in that kind of shape. So we've got to really limit how much he does in practice, but still get enough work to be ready. But he's in a role in our offense where he's a great blocker.
Hey Bruce, just take it back.
Go ahead.
You said that the those teams canceled the interviews with you. Why did they cancel them?
I never got an answer other than thanks, but no thanks.
Just because you were interviewing with the Bears?
Yeah, that day I was at the Bears, three of the teams decided to go different directions.
Did that
Did that surprise you, Bruce? How did you feel about that? Were you a little disappointed?
I was probably more disappointed because I thought I had the Bears job. And, you know, it was like a double whammy. Then, you know, then the Arizona interview was there, and I really wasn't going to take it because of Kenny Wisenhunt, such a dear friend. And there were four guys on the staff that I'd won a Super Bowl with that I wasn't going to keep.
Hey, Bruce, you used A.Q. Shipley, who played for the Eagles years ago, and for you and with the Colts. You used him at fullback. Is he ever going to get are you ever going to attempt to give him a carry or anything, or is he just strictly short yardage?
He's lobbying hard. But he won the fact that I sent him out for a pass. He did a hell of a job. He got double covered. But giving him the ball, I doubt that's going to happen.
How did that sort of evolve? Because obviously you were with him in Indianapolis, too.
Yeah, I mean, we drafted him in Pittsburgh, and then he went to Philly and then to Indy. Tough, smart guys I like. And, you know, he finds roles. He's a damn good center. When he had to play guard for us, he did a hell of a job in Indy. So he has some position flexibility. And then, you know, we lost a tight end with an injury. So, hey, we want to keep that package going. Let's use Q as the F in our offense, the move guy. And he did a hell of a job. And I wouldn't expect anything else of him.
It's 3 years now playing against the Eagles. How have you seen them evolve from 2013 to now?
A lot of different faces, but still the same high-quality coaching. And looks like, you know, Aguilar's filling in a role that Macklin had. And they're rebuilding it in a very nice way. I think Chip had a plan, and he's sticking to his plan. They're still doing a very exotic defense that pressures. I like Billy Davis. I think he's one of the better coordinators in the league. And you just see the young influx of talent. And then you got Darren Sproles, who is, I mean, he's tough as they get.
You mentioned, obviously here, the offense, Sam Bradford's been playing a little better recently, but the offense hasn't really been humming the way it has in the past. Have you seen defenses start to kind of figure out Chip's offense a little bit?
No, I don't think so. I think there are plays to be made in every game. I think what's happening right now is they're getting on the same page with those young receivers, and the speed that they have is starting to show up and play faster because they're all feeling more comfortable within the offense.
Bruce, are you surprised at all that DeMarco hasn't been more productive this year?
Yeah, you never know. You never know when you take a guy out of one system and put him in another what you're really going to get. We were very lucky in Pittsburgh when we got Deuce Staley, and he fit our offense, but you still never knew. But Deuce did different things than Jerome did, so we tried to tailor it for what Deuce did when he was in there. So you got to mix and match. I think that's one of the things about coaching is when you get a guy and he doesn't quite fit this, what does he fit, and put him in that situation.
Bruce, were you particularly excited for the opportunity to interview with the Eagles, given your roots in Philadelphia and therefore, you know, pretty disappointing?
Oh, yeah, heck yeah. I mean, Philly's like home, you know, very close to home. And well, obviously, having been at Temple, and at least I knew exactly where to go back to the hospital.
Bruce, having said what you've said about up-tempo, do you also think it taxes a defense and also makes it maybe tough to run a four-minute offense sometimes?
I think that you have to, to run a four-minute offense, yeah, you obviously want to slow it all down. But when you have a solid running game like they have, it shouldn't be hard other than just snapping the ball with the shot clock down.
Do you think it taxes the defense, too?
Does it affect the defense? Oh, yeah.
How's date night going?
Always good. Always good. Every Thursday night.
And coming back to Philly, is there anything you do when you're here?
Try to get some good pretzels and see a lot of friends from Temple.